Kia ora tātou, I'm Thea, and today we're talking about my new album for my reo Māori side project, Te Kāhu.
People that are familiar with your music under Thea might be a bit surprised by the stylistic change that you've done here on Te Kāhu. What was the motivation to branch out into this focus on waiata and traditional Māori storytelling?
Yeah, true. I know some people definitely find it confusing, but also they feel like they're two different kind of projects, but I kind of feel like it's more just like the same as my left side and my right side. It's honestly just two manifestations of who I am, which is, you know, yes, I'm Māori and adore my reo, and I'm also, you know, walking in, I suppose, the music industry and as like a young woman, and so therefore my mahi and as Thea is more like political and angry, and so they're kind of like just, yeah, kind of just different manifestations of who I am. Why I chose to put all of my reo Māori compositions under Te Kāhu is because I kind of had released a few things under Thea, and two were collabs, and that was totally cool and that fit as Thea, but then I released a himene that I'd composed, and I thought, like, it was great that it went out as Thea, but I really, you know, knew I was going to have way more compositions that I was going to release, and with the idea that they would be waiata that my nannies would have listened to and kind of formed a soundtrack, I suppose, for them. Yeah, it kind of just made sense to give those compositions their own home and their own mana within Te Kāhu, seeing as everything that I compose is effectively a way of honouring and paying tribute to my nannies.
I first heard about Te Kāhu back in 2020, but how long has this project been in the works, and how long have you been writing in te reo in general?
Since I was at high school, I've been composing in reo Māori, and some of my earliest compositions were, I suppose, ways that I was able to deal with loss, which is kind of still what I'm, you know, doing now. There's just so much more that I feel like you can say through our language and through, you know, the metaphors and things like that. And so, yeah, one of my earliest reo Māori compositions was to honour my best friend, Sihima, who had passed away. And so I composed a song for her. And yeah, that was something that was really healing and helped me a lot. And so it's amazing to sort of be able to do the same thing, but more like intertwined with direct like quotes from my nannies and also tribal sayings and things like that.
What I love about this release is there's a lot of entry points for music lovers to get into it, even for those that don't have an understanding of te reo Māori. There's obviously a huge focus on emulating traditional waiata though. What were some of the techniques you used to mirror that style?
It's all about the timeless quality, like where, yes, the vocals have been, you know, they're like hyper crisp because of the current technology and things like that, but it sort of exists genre-wise in this timeless kind of space, which I think is really special and not really tied necessarily to, you know, a certain time apart from waiata that have really influenced our people. And then also adding in a couple of traditional kind of momo waiata Māori, such as the first track to the record, which is in the style of a karanga or a pau. Yes, so Te Kāhu o Rangi serves as, I guess, one of the two bookmarks for this record. She is a acapella track, and Te Kāhu o Rangi is of course the name of the record, but also the full name of the project. Kāhu is of course a hawk, and Rangi is short for Rangirara, which is my grandmother's name, and so the translation is Rangi's hawk, or also Rangirara means beyond the heavens, so it's kind of like hawk of the heavens as well. He re re te kau ki tōna piringa, te tiki tiki o rangi So Rangirara is, of course, my kui, my nanny's name. And her name has two meanings. Rangi is, of course, our kupu, or our word for both sky and heaven. And rara is meaning both resting place, like a bed in certain dialects, but also beyond. So therefore, her name can mean both heavenly resting place and beyond the heavens. And so in this Waiata Rangirara, I wanted to kind of acknowledge those aspects of her name and sort of tie into other metaphors that we have in, you know, our traditional world that also tie into that. So for example, it mentions Rangi Pōpoi Runga, which is the female personification of thunder, and other aspects that kind of adhere to the heavens and the sky and things, such as, you know, the stars and the rain, just everything like that is pretty much put beautifully into this waiata to show how, even though Mai Kui has passed away, you can see her manifestation. Waiata aroha mō tōku awa, mō tōku tūpuna awa, which is that this waiata is a love song for my ancestral river Waikato, and my whānau has such a beautifully close connection to the awa in the fact that one of my marae, or my kind of main slash key marae, Tauranga Nui, which is in Port Waikato, and my kui Rangirara grew up there in an army flat. And my nanny, of course, birthed her in our marae, in our whare nui, and then immediately after birthing, the bubs just wandered down to the awa to be cleansed by Waikato's waters and everything like that. And she is, of course, a source of nourishment for everyone that's in my iwi that is, you know, along her backs and stuff. And then the last thing to note is that I use a lot of verbatim quotes from my nani mite, which is my kui rangi, her mother. Nani mite, there's like many master's theses and council documents and things like that that cite nani mite and some of her quotes, and she was one of the kaumātua that really in the 80s and 90s fought for our iwi to have that tino raga tiratanga, or self-governance over our awa. So I really wanted to show that by utilizing many of these quotes and just showing, I guess, even in those quotes, the strong connection that our people have with our awa. Paimarere is very significant, and another kind of strong tie to Waikato. Paimarere means goodness and peace, and it was a faith that was founded in around the 1860s by a prophet, Te Rua Haumine, which roughly translates to the wind man. And this was, you know, at a time where we're in the midst of colonization, a really heavy land confiscation, violence, and also getting pushed out of, you know, our ancestral lands. It was founded around Hikurangi Maunga, and the way that our people in Waikato were able to take on this faith is because when our people in Waikato were being pushed out, our king at the time, Tawhiao, was, you know, pushed into unknown territory, I suppose, around Hikurangi. And so he met with Te Rua, and because Paimarere shares very, very similar beliefs around sovereignty and self-determination, and also kind of around that time, you know, uprising against the colonists, then it was taken on as the faith that would represent the Kingitanga. And of course, for anyone that doesn't know, the Kingitanga is our Māori King movement that also started in the early 1800s as a response to colonization, and also was set up as, you know, kind of like a direct authority to stand and represent Māori instead of having the Queen govern us. Yeah, that's kind of like a beautiful, very deep, hundreds of years old story and connection to Paimarere. So Taupiri is my sacred mountain, He Maungatapu, and it's a maunga where for many, many, many generations, my whānau has been buried. And she's a very sacred mountain to our people. On one side of the maunga is the kingitanga and all the past royals who were buried there. And then on the other side of the maunga is non-royals / regular folk. And so, yeah, that's where my great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents, great-great-great-grandparents all reside. And so this is a waiata to honour Taupiri and her beautiful, caring nature.